Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with our advertisement we've been running all year, and we'll continue to students and pastors looking for employment as pastor. It's a job opportunity for one or more of you, because Daleville Christian Church will retire its long-serving pastor in another year. Daleville Christian Church is an independent Christian church looking to find the next lead pastor of this small but forward-looking congregation. Eventually, it is intended that this position lead towards the full-time lead pastor position upon my retirement. What's available now is an associate's position, full or part-time, for training in the life of Daleville Christian Church for the future of the congregation. Send inquiries or resumes to me, Daleville Pastor 1, that's Daleville Pastor, the number 1, at mac.com. Having made that announcement, I would also remind listeners, each one of us decides in our own heart whether we will believe in God or which God, if any, we will believe in. To leave these matters of the heart undecided is similar to leaving a boat unanchored at dock or port. One has to hope the wind won't come up or a storm or hurricane will land somewhere else. Anchors and matters of the heart should not be decided in a state of emergency. How many of us are that cool under that kind of pressure in a crisis? You could take some time today or this week to consider and decide these matters. They can remain open for review, but have the basics down at least. Then you can live what you believe, always less stressful, always more peaceful. I can only talk about Jesus. As a minister, I'm a minister of God's Word, the Bible. I don't know anything else to talk about. I can only speak with any authority on matters of my own heart. You will have to decide about matters of your heart. We also like to begin with an affirmation of our faith, this one from the letter called 1 Peter in the second chapter. Jesus committed no sin. No guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The reading of God's Word for today is the traditional reading, or one of a few traditional readings for this day, the Sunday before what we call Easter, the day of resurrection of Jesus. And this report is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you Even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Having looked at religion in America for 2 weeks, in many ways we are better prepared to look again on the events we commemorate in the churches this week, the Sunday that is now called Palm Sunday. Christians often look to God's word, the Bible, to help them with their lives. God's word intends that. What distresses me as a minister of God's word is that people don't read the Bible because the words are so old. I can admit that reading the Bible is not easygoing, but do we expect knowledge of God to be easygoing? If sometimes our lives are not easy, do we think that we will find ancient lives lived with God easy to understand? You remember, of course, that to find gold or diamonds has usually taken humans a lot of work. God's word is that way also. Oh, you might occasionally just look down on the ground and see a speck of gold or a tiny diamond, but if you desire any quantity of gold or diamonds, you will need some tools and some patience and pain reliever for sore muscles. So one of the first things to appreciate is that the ancient world was full of religious faiths. Judaism in Jesus' day was like Christianity in America today, splintered, fractured. Some groups didn't want to be with other groups of Jews. Some groups wouldn't even talk to other groups of Jews. Remember, you have Pharisees, Sadducees, there were Essenes out at the Dead Sea, Samaritans up north, and the Bible lists converts to Judaism and God-fearers. And let's not forget the Herodians. And some claim that Nabataeans had been forced to convert to Judaism. To this list, you can add Jesus and his disciples as one of the other groups of Jews. And before there was Jesus, there was John the Baptizer and his disciples. The book of Acts names a few other groups or movements under the Jewish faith umbrella. See Acts chapter 5, verses 36 and 37. So are we all clear on that? Well, that understanding sets the stage for Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem that day. Now, plenty of professors of the Bible have argued how many times Jesus went to Jerusalem. Why? Because that's what Bible professors do, that's why. Come on, sometimes your career is at stake. No matter how many times Jesus went to Jerusalem, this day we commemorate was certainly a very public and celebrated coming to Jerusalem for Jesus. Look at the Bible's description. Crowds of people. A crowd in front of Jesus, a crowd behind Jesus. Jesus is surrounded by throngs of people. Now remember, it's time of the Jewish festival of Passover. So lots of people are going to Jerusalem. You can read a list of people who showed up for the festival of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Even more people showed up for Passover. They're entering Jerusalem from all over the Middle East and the Mediterranean. But this only adds to the crisis, and you might ask, what crisis? Who is this Jesus? Good question. That seems to be the question on the table. Who is this Jesus? And since there are so many groups of Jews under the Jewish faith umbrella, even though they won't even stand next to each other under that same umbrella, they can't even agree on basics like which mountain, if any, to worship God. John 4:20, and the Essenes out of the Dead Sea had forsaken worship in Jerusalem or Samaria? You can imagine there are just as many different answers to the question, who is this Jesus? And even if you say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, we could ask another question. If Jesus is the Messiah, what kind of Messiah is he? You see, the Essenes out of the Dead Sea, they're looking for a Messiah, but their Messiah is going to lead a holy army against the evil Romans. Oh, I forgot. I forgot to mention the Zealots. The Zealots are another group of Jews, and the Zealots are also looking for someone to rid the country of those nasty pagan Romans. And Jesus has a zealot among his disciples, Simon Zealot. But remember, you and I know that Jesus called Simon Zealot to be a disciple, not the other way around. And I have now mentioned the Romans twice with regard to Jesus. The Romans also want to know, who is this Jesus? I don't think we have to review the history of the Romans and the Jews. I only have to remind all of us that the Romans were pagan conquerors who bring heavy, unfair taxes with them. I think most of us would hate the Romans pretty easily. But the Romans, being the people in power and the tax collectors, the Romans' authorities do not want anyone else in power but their own people, and the Romans don't want anything to happen to interrupt the collection of taxes. Romans don't understand Jews, and the Romans don't understand the Jews' religion. What kind of people worship only one God and refuse to work one day a week? Oh, and they don't eat pork. The Romans thought that was pretty crazy stuff. The Romans knew about the Zealots. The Romans had already been forced to put down several rebellious so-called messiahs. See that Acts chapter 5. So if Jesus claimed that he was the Messiah, a Messiah who would be the people's deliverer? If Jesus was the deliverer, there was going to be trouble. The Romans could see Jesus' entrance into the city of Jerusalem. Things did not look good as far as the Romans were concerned. So now we understand why the Pharisees and Sadducees were worried. If Jesus caused another uprising, taxes would have to pay the army. The Roman army, by the way, was present in Jerusalem every Passover, because the Roman army was usually at the governor's residence at the beach called Caesarea Maritima. It was a port city different from the other Caesarea. Those towns are all named for Caesar, to stay in Caesar's good graces. And if Jesus caused an uprising, the Romans might use it as an excuse to kill a lot of Jews, or burn down the temple, or both. So the Pharisees and Sadducees were plenty worried. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees probably knew that the Romans were worried. So I'm still asking the question, and all the Jewish groups we've mentioned and the Romans were asking, who is this Jesus? And you've read all the rumors about Jesus that are in the Bible. Jesus was John the Baptizer raised from the dead. Herod's grandsons didn't like John. Had John beheaded. Those Herods were all called Herod. There was a rumor that Jesus had raised a guy from the dead, some guy named Lazarus. There were rumors that Jesus was a healer, a miracle worker. Read that in today's scripture. Some said that Jesus was a prophet of God. Jesus had been heard to talk about a kingdom of God. Jesus talked about God's people. Was Jesus the one who said that Jesus was king of the Jews, or that Jesus would be the king of the Jews? Now, this is what we know from reading the Bible. What we don't know is what the crowd was thinking that day. With crowds singing God's praise at Jesus' very public entrance to Jerusalem on a donkey, that was what King David did. The crowd's answer to this question about who is this Jesus makes it look like Jesus, King of the Jews. Jesus, Deliverer. But Jesus saw the whole thing differently than anyone else there. Jesus said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now It's hidden from your eyes. And then Jesus said, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus was saying, you have eyes, but you do not see. Jesus noticed that the crowd was acting like Jesus had come as a conqueror, but Jesus was not a champion. Jesus was a servant of God, to redeem the people from their own sins. Jesus had not come to redeem the people from the sinful pagan Romans, or to redeem the people from the sinful pagan Romans' sins. As we commemorate Jesus' entrance into the city of Jerusalem, we want to be thankful to God that God was bringing the suffering servant to us. Jesus had done everything right, as the apostle wrote in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus had come to Jerusalem to be obedient, obedient to death. Jesus would submit to death as we human beings must all submit to death. Jesus did not have to submit to death. We do. Jesus chose to submit to death. This is how much our God loves us. This is how much our God can sympathize with us. Jesus came to Jerusalem to die. And that is what Jesus said was going to happen more than once. But the disciples did not have ears to hear that. Peter even objected to the idea. Not only was Jesus going to die, it was all going to be legal, death from the ruling authorities. Jesus would not be murdered or assassinated. Jesus never crossed anyone. Jesus loved even the Pharisees, but Jesus himself would be betrayed. It would happen in Jerusalem. It would happen just as Jesus knew it would. Jesus' crucifixion was going to bring peace. Peace between God and humanity. Jesus had told them, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Jesus would die by crucifixion, a death the Romans had devised to be brutal and horrible. But hanging on the cross brought Jewish Jesus to die under a curse of the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 21. Jesus became obedient to death, even a cursed death, even a cursed horrible death, even death on a cross. But as the Apostle Paul explained in Galatians chapter 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And we who are not Jews have been added, as that same Apostle Paul explained to the churches in and around Rome, who were both Jew and Gentile. Romans 10, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. We can be at peace with a holy God. God will make us holy by his own Son, our Savior. You and I can know what brings peace. We can be at peace with God through Jesus. Jesus, later that same day, we commemorate, would enter the temple precincts and declare the promise of the Jewish prophet Isaiah in chapter 56. My house will be a house of prayer for all peoples. So now, can you answer for yourself the question that they all asked that day long ago? Who is this Jesus?